I know this isn't going to mean anything to our guests, but for the members here, every time I wear this clothing combination, somebody asks me about my dry cleaning. And my suits are not at the dry cleaners. However, my green suit is in the pile headed for the dry cleaners, so I could not wear it today. If you pinch me, I will hit you. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I wouldn't do that. I want to start this morning with a pop quiz. I'm going to give you a series of statements, and I'd like for you to, in your own mind, you don't have to say it out loud, I want you to say in your own mind which of these statements is true. Statement number one, we are a church of God. Statement number two, we are a church of Christ. Statement number three, we are a church of God in Christ. Statement number four, we are a church of the way. Which of these statements is true? All of them. All of these statements are true. We are a church of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul wrote to the church of God, which is in Corinth, we are a church of Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul talked about the churches of Christ greet you. If we were to take a singular one of those congregations, we would call it a church of Christ. That's true about us. That's exactly what we are. We are a church of God in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul talked about the church there being the churches, talked about churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. We are a church of God that is in Christ. And we are a church of the way. And I know this is kind of odd to us, but in Acts chapter 9, and I think it's about verse 2, Luke, as he's writing about what Saul was doing in his persecution, it says he asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 24, this time, I think we're in about verse 14. Paul says, as he's standing on trial, but this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets. And then in verse 22, Luke, as he's writing, says, but Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off. And therefore, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we are a church of the way. I'd like to give you another pop quiz. Same thing. Don't have to answer this out loud. But I want you to think in your own mind of these following statements, which one is true? Statement number one, I am Church of Christ. Statement number two, I am a Church of Christ preacher. Talking about me, by the way. Church of Christ doctrine teaches a cappella singing. This is a Church of Christ church. Which of these statements is true? None of them is true. We need to understand this. Church is a collective noun. Therefore, I cannot possibly be Church of Christ or a Church of Christ because I am an individual. The phrase Church of Christ is not the name of some organization that can be used as an adjective to describe different roles or offices within it. For instance, you could say that I am a University of North Alabama graduate. University of North Alabama is the name of a particular institution, and I can be defined as a graduate from there, a University of North Alabama graduate. But Church of Christ, as used in the Bible, is not the name of some organization that can be tacked on as an adjective describing some role or office within Christ's church. The Church of Christ is the group of people who are belonging to Christ. men aren't supposed to come up with doctrine. We know from Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, if a doctrine comes from a group of men, it makes our worship in vain. Christ's church has not ever originated any doctrine, and it must not ever originate any doctrine. Rather, what we need to teach is the doctrine of Christ, or the doctrine of God, as different passages tell us. And so, Church of Christ doctrine doesn't teach anything, if we understand Church of Christ properly. And again, Church of Christ is not that proper name that can be tacked on as an adjective to any person, place, or thing. In addition to that, this congregation is not part of any organization greater than this local congregation, and so we are not a Church of Christ church. I bring all this up because I am increasingly hearing language and ideas that I think don't just betray recklessness and carelessness in our speech, but sometimes betray a misunderstanding. And I don't just mean that here. I'm talking about, I hear it on Facebook, I read it in web blogs, I read it in posts, I hear it in emails, I hear it when I go to other places. I'm just starting to hear this stuff more and more and more among Christians, and I am afraid that we are losing sight of what it is that we claim to stand for. And I just like to spend some time talking with you about this morning, because it concerns me. It concerns me for our fellowship here as a local congregation. It concerns me for Christians in general. It concerns me for what folks outside of our congregation and fellowship think about us and what we think about them. I think we need to spend some time thinking about this and making sure that we understand exactly what Christ's church is. I want to talk to you about that for a few moments this morning, and I hope that by the time we're done, even though I'm going to say some things that might be shocking to you personally, that we can have a greater understanding of what the New Testament says about Christ's church and what your place as an individual is in it and what the place of this congregation is within it. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we love you so much. We long for you and we want to praise you. Father, we simply want to be your children. We don't want to be any particular kind of Christian. We just want to be your children. We want to be saved by the blood of your Son. We want to be a part of the people that belong to him. Father, we pray that you would help us to have that understanding and help us to teach that to those who are around us, that they also can simply be your children. Father, please be with us as we study your word this morning, that in what we do here, you will be glorified, you will be honored, that you will be manifested in the eyes and ears of all those who are listening this morning and all those who will hear this lesson. Father, we pray that everything we do at this congregation will be about your glory. Not about what we want, not about what we do. Unto your name be the glory, Father, not unto ours. We magnify you and praise you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to tell you my story. Some of you already know it, some of you don't. I'd like to tell you part of my story. When I was born, both of my parents were Baptists. I was brought up in the Baptist church until I was an early teenager. My mom died when I was 12 years old, a week after my birthday. And within the following year, we had moved to Arkansas, and my dad started dating another woman who was a Christian. And that was instigated through a family connection with my dad's parents because they were also Christians. And through all of that, he was restored to the Lord, and we started attending a local congregation there in Blyville, Arkansas. I was ticked. Oh, it irritated the daylights out of me. I didn't understand why we were going through this and why this change was happening within my family. And while we were attending this church, there was something that people kept saying to me that really upset me. They said, Edwin, why do you want to be a particular kind of Christian? Why not be just a Christian? I knew how to answer that. Because in my Baptist youth groups, I had been taught. I am just a Christian. I was just a Christian, I was told. The term Baptist was a pejorative term that had been taken by other folks in the community and the world and applied to the folks in that particular church because of the way they had decided to baptize. But that name being attributed to us by all those other people out there didn't suddenly mean we were something other than or more than or a particular kind of Christian. And so I knew how to answer that question when people would ask. I am just a Christian. But then my dad got married. And Linda, who is now my stepmom, lived in Georgia at the time, and we were living on the Air Force Base, and they went off on their honeymoon and for some reason didn't want me or my little one-year-old brother along.
And so they shipped us off to other places. I don't even know where they sent Brad. I was just glad he wasn't with me. And they sent me off to a family in Idaho. It was a long-term family friend from back when I was born. You may not know this. You may not have ever met anybody born in Idaho. I was. Went up to some family friends from there who were Baptist. And got to stay there for about 3 weeks because they went on their honeymoon and then they were consolidating the houses to a house they had bought there in Blytheville, Arkansas. And one day after one of the services of that particular Baptist church, my family friend was talking to his nephew who was a pastor in the Baptist church. And they were complaining about something that was going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. And my friend said this, and it has stuck with me ever since. It was a changing moment. It was a paradigm shift. It was the moment that changed my perspective on everything. I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know what was going on in the convention. I simply heard this statement. If they keep doing stuff like this, I'm going to quit being a Baptist and just be a Christian. Everything changed. In that moment, I realized that this thing that I had been basing my spirituality on was just not true. That yes, when someone wants to defend against something, they will make a certain statement, but when they're in the privacy of their own home and they're not trying to defend against anyone, the truth really comes out. And the fact is, what I learned that day is that I was not just a Christian. I was a particular kind of a Christian. I was a Christian and something else. And I didn't want to be that. Now, I will point out to you that when I made a change and I got back home and shortly thereafter I was baptized into Christ, I didn't believe everything that the congregation we were part of was teaching. There were a whole lot of things I didn't believe. And I wasn't saying that everything I had been taught as a Baptist that I disagreed with. In fact, by the way, everything I was taught as a Baptist, I still don't disagree with. There are a whole lot of things I agree with there. I'm not saying that I understood everything about the church, whether we're talking about the local church or the universal church. I didn't. I was 13 years old. But I did know this. I wanted to be a Christian. And that's all I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a Christian plus something else. I didn't want to be a Christian and some other kind of Christian. I wanted to be a Christian and only a Christian. And that is all I wanted to be. And I knew that this particular congregation where I was attending in Blytheville, that's what they were saying. That's all we want to be. I heard sermons that talked about it. I heard preaching that talked about being just a Christian and only a Christian and not a part of some other organization, being just a Christian. It's been almost 27 years since I was baptized into Christ and into His body. And over those 27 years, I have heard more and more language and speaking and talking that I think demonstrates some different understanding than I was signing up for. Something different than what I was wanting to be a part of. I hear people that will say things like, I'm Church of Christ. You're Church of Christ? Me too! Is he Church of Christ? Is she Church of Christ? They'll talk about some college. Is it a Church of Christ school? A book that's been written. Is it a Church of Christ book? A radio program that's on. Is that a Church of Christ radio program? Or even worse. Oh, I hate this. Is it COC? Oh, that drives me nuts. Perhaps even worse than that, though, when trying to ask someone, hey, is that person a Christian? And what is responded, he's a Christian, but he's not Church of Christ. As if Church of Christ is some subset of the people who belong to the Lord. Perhaps the most egregious infraction on this that has just plagued me for years, this happened a long time ago, and I wish at that time I'd been brave enough and courageous enough to say something to the person who said it. But I was living in Florence, Alabama, and there was a congregation there that was just going nuts. I mean, they were changing everything. They were not following what Jesus says in the Bible about how to worship God, and they were having unity meetings with churches that were teaching false doctrine and error and denominationalism. They were going nuts as far as I was concerned. And one Sunday after the service, after our assembly at the particular congregation I was a part of at the time, I was talking to a sister there, and she wanted to let me know what she thought was just an amazing infraction that that particular congregation had committed. She said, "You will not believe this." I said, "What?" She said, "I was looking in the phone book the other day. And did you know that that church over there, they don't have their name under the heading Church of Christ anymore?" Now, they still had Church of Christ in their name, But it wasn't under the heading in the phone book, Church of Christ. You know, like it says Baptist and it lists all the Baptist churches. It says Methodist and it lists all the Methodist churches. And it says Pentecostal and it lists all the Pentecostal churches. Well, in the phone book it says Church of Christ and it lists all the Church of Christ churches. They don't have their name there anymore. You know where their name is now? Under non-denominational. And I know that what she wanted me to do was be absolutely incensed that that congregation had the gall to claim that they were non-denominational. But you want to know what I thought? My first thought was, oh no, where's our name? Because I bet ours is under Church of Christ to claim that we're a Church of Christ church. I left the Baptist church because I didn't want to be any kind of Christian. I don't want to be a Baptist Christian, a Pentecostal Christian, a Methodist Christian, a Presbyterian Christian. And I can tell you something else I don't want to be. I don't want to be a Church of Christ Christian. I just want to be a Christian. Look at 1 Corinthians with me for just a moment, please. There's a passage there that shocks me. We read it in our scripture reading this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is rebuking the Corinthians because of their divisiveness. In fact, 1 Corinthians, I think, is Paul's treatise on how to have unity. We're going to be studying 1 Corinthians in the auditorium beginning in April. And the approach we're going to take is, here's Paul's treatise on how to have unity in a body of Christ. But in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul rebukes the Christians there in Corinth. And he says, well, let's back up to verse 11. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you, so this is a problem everyone's having. Each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. That's the ESV. If you're reading from the New King James or the New American Standard, it says something more like, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Here's what amazes me about this verse, is that as Paul is dealing with this, he does not say to the folks who claim to be of Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, you guys are messed up, you need to go be a part of that group that's claiming to be of Christ. He doesn't go on to say, look, only 25% of you are getting it right. Only those of you who are saying of Christ are getting it right. You guys need to be like them. He doesn't say that. What that demonstrates is that even the people in Corinth who were saying they were of Christ were having a problem. They were using correct terminology. Do we want to be of Christ? Did the Christians in Corinth need to be of Christ? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But the problem was somehow in the divisiveness and the arguing that was going on, what Paul is demonstrating is even the people who were making the claim to be of Christ were not acting like they were of Christ because they were using that phrase incorrectly. They were being just as divisive and sectarian as everyone else in that congregation was being. And what concerns me today is I hear brothers and sisters that are using the phrase Church of Christ. Is that a correct phrase? Is that a good phrase? Do we want to be a part of the church that belongs to Christ? Do we want to be a part of the Church of Christ? Of course we do. But I fear that too often there are many among us, and sometimes even me myself, that are using this phrase in an incorrect way. And so if what we mean by Church of Christ is the same thing that everybody else out there means when they say Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Catholic or Presbyterian or Episcopalian, if we just mean the same thing that they mean, if what we mean is an association of congregations that all have the same name on their sign and trade preachers among one another and think that each other is faithful, but it's a subset of the real body of Christ, we're using that wrong. And we're making the same mistake that folks out there are making. And for us to sit here and point the finger at all those denominations out there when we're talking just the exact same way, that's a problem. Because I got to tell you, I don't want to be a Baptist Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Presbyterian Christian or a Pentecostal Christian or a Roman Catholic Christian. And I don't want to be a Church of Christ Christian. I just want to be a Christian. And so we ask, well, what does Church of Christ really mean? What does that phrase mean? The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. It means a group of people called out for a special purpose. The word church, even the word ekklesia, was not originally a religious word. In fact, originally what that word meant was a reference to the assemblies of citizens in Greek city-states gathered together to conduct public business. That's where that word originally came from. It just referred to a group of people called together for a particular purpose. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 19, we'll see that the word was even used that way in the New Testament a couple times. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus. And there's a riot that happens in Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 19 and verse 32, the text says this: "Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly," the ESV says assembly, "was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together." Yours may say crowd. I think some say crowd. That's the same word here. This group of people that had gathered together, it was really confused because they didn't really, some of them didn't know why they had come together. But here was this group. Then interestingly, in verse 39, as the town clerk is quieting the crowd down, and he's saying, "You guys are going to get us in trouble if you keep this up." Notice what he says in verse 39. "If you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly." Your translation may say lawful assembly. In other words, here's an assembly, here's a group of people that have called out, but it's not lawful. You guys are breaking the law with this assembly. There is a lawful assembly. There is a gathering of the citizens to actually conduct business and deal with this sort of thing. Take care of it there. And then in verse 41, when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. That's that same word. It just means a group of people. I want you to recognize that it's a collective noun. Now, I know I was being made fun of about being an English major in Bible class this morning, because I don't ever remember all things, do I, Gary? I mess it up sometimes. But I do remember this, a collective noun. You know, there are singular nouns. That means one person. And then there are plural nouns. That means multiple whatever. And then there's a collective noun. A collective noun is a singular entity which is comprised of more than one thing. Example, a herd. A herd is one thing. It is one herd. But if you only have one cow, do you have a herd? No, you got to have more than one cow to have a herd. Herd is a collective noun. Flock. Well, if you just have one sheep, do you have a flock? No, you just got one sheep. It takes more than one sheep. A flock. It's one flock. It's more than one sheep. It's a club. I picked Toastmasters, Glenn, just for you. But it's a club. If you just have one person, do you have a club? No. You just got one person. Church is a collective noun. It means a group of people. Look in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 to demonstrate this. In Acts chapter 8... and verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Saul approved his execution, talking about Stephen. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem." How many churches? One. Notice what's next. "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." The persecution was against the singular church, but they were scattered everywhere. Why? Because the church is comprised of people. That's what the word church means. It's a group of people. When we add the word "of Christ," that's a prepositional phrase. It means ownership in this context. Of Christ. Belonging to Christ. And so, when we put the... In fact, we could just say Christ's church and mean the exact same thing. Because that's all it means. It means the church that belongs to Christ. So we could call it Church of Christ, or we could call it Christ's church, and we'd be saying the exact same thing. Like I could say Edwin's car and the car of Edwin. It means the same thing, right? Except for car of Edwin sounds really weird. So, when we put these two concepts together, Church of Christ, all it means is a group of people who belong to Christ. The group of people who belong to Christ. So in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, when it talks about the churches of Christ, it's talking about the groups of people who belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:23 points out that what is Christ is God's. And so what that means is I could also say the church that belongs to God or the church of God. And so 1 Corinthians 1:2, the church of God that is Corinth. And when we say church of God, what do we mean? If we're using it biblically, we don't mean a denomination by the name church of God that's just some subset. What we mean is the group of people that belong to God. That's what this phrase means, and that's how we need to use it. Now, there's two senses in the New Testament when it's talking about the church in the spiritual form. I understand there are other places where it uses the word, like in Acts 19, and it's not talking about the body that belongs to Christ. But most of the time, even if just the word church is used, it's understood that he's talking about the body of people that belong to Christ or belong to God. And sometimes it'll just even say church. And this term is used in two similar but distinct ways that we need to grasp and understand. The first way is a localized group of people belonging to Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, I've referred to it, but we haven't read it. Let's go over there and look so you know I'm not just making this up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth." To the church that is in Corinth. The group of people that belong to God in Corinth. Flip over a couple of books to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul's writing, he says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and of God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia." Galatia was a big region. And so there were a whole lot of localized groups throughout Galatia. And so he talks about multiple congregations, multiple localized groups of people, people in a local area who assemble together. In fact, what I hope you understand that this group, the localized group, like in Brownsburg, this group is a church because they assemble, not just when they assemble. If you look in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it says that Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. When he went into a family's home and pulled out a member of the church, that person was still part of the church. The church was still the church. The church there in Jerusalem was still the church, even when it wasn't assembled together. You see that? A localized church is a group of people that come together, that assemble together. They belong to Jesus Christ, and they assemble together to worship and honor and glorify God and conduct the work that He's given them to do together as a group. But they are the church because they assemble, not just when they assemble. I hope we can grasp that. But in the New Testament, we also see a difference, since we see the universal group of people belonging to Christ. There's a local group of people that belong to Christ, but there is a universal group of people that belong to Christ. This is all the people of all times, of all places that belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are the group of people who belong to Christ, and we would call them the universal church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, you'll remember that Peter made his confession. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my people. I will build my ecclesia, my assembly, my group of people. I'm going to build that on the rock that I am the Christ." That's what it's going to be built on. How many of them? Just one. He's not talking about all these little groups, though there's application for them. He's talking about that universal body, everybody. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer is talking to these Jewish Christians, and he says to them, "Here's what you've come to. You have come to," this is Hebrews 12, 23, "the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." The assembly of the firstborn, by the way, firstborn there isn't referring to Jesus Christ. Firstborn is actually referring to people who are Christians who have the blessing of the firstborn. And I know that because, another grammar point, the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's a plural verb. Not who is, but who are. What is the universal church? Every person of all times who has been enrolled, who is enrolled in heaven. That is the universal church of Christ. Here's what we need to understand from that. This universal church is a collection of people, not local churches. Hebrews 12:23 says that the church is the church of the people who are enrolled in heaven. Not, he does not say, you have come to those, to the assembly of those who are enrolled in directories and churches that have the words Church of Christ on their sign. The universal body of Christ. People have a couple of different pictures of that. Some folks see the universal church as the collectivity of all the local churches. That's not true. A herd is not a collection of all the herds of cows in the world. There's no flock that is the collection of all the flocks in the world. The universal church is not a collection of all the local churches. And our membership in the universal church is not predicated upon our relationship with a specific local congregation. People may not be a member of a local congregation and yet still be part of the universal church. Paul, when he came to Jerusalem, initially when he tried to join himself to the disciples, they wouldn't let him. He was still a part of the universal church, even though that local church wouldn't let him be a member. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, John talks about the fact that there were Christians who went out from us because they were not of us. What that implies is they had been among us, but they left. Why? Because they weren't really what we were. And this division demonstrated they weren't really what we were. Were they members? Were they accepted of that local congregation? Looks like it. But they weren't really of us. And so they left. Here's the thing I want you to understand. That picture there, that's y'all's left. That's not the picture we're supposed to have. When we say Church of Christ or even Churches of Christ, if we try to mean that there's some type of organization that's all these local congregations together because they have the same name on their sign, what we think is wrong. The universal church is the collection of all people who belong to Jesus Christ without reference to their local congregation affiliation. Every person of all time. That is the universal church of Christ. I will point out, before we get to this, there is one other passage that uses church in a spiritual sense in a little modified way. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, after the persecution that was happening, it says in Acts 9:31 that the church throughout Judea, Samaria, and all Galilee had peace. That's not a local congregation. That's too big of a place to be a local congregation. And it's also not a reference to the entire universal church as if it was limited to that area, because we know Paul's already been to Damascus to get Christians. I do believe that what that is a modified universal sense. Everybody who is a member of the universal church in this area. I think that's what he's saying there. As far as I know, that's the only passage in the New Testament that uses it that way. But I want you to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, this is a really cool passage because it demonstrates the local church and the universal church all in one verse. To the church of God that is in Corinth, there's the local church. The group of people that belong to God in Corinth, I'm writing to you. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the universal church. All people everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see local and universal here in this exact same place. And that's what we need to see. So, I've got some takeaways for you. Three takeaways that I hope we can take from this lesson. And I hope after I'm done, I get to preach tonight too, and we'll talk about some other things. Takeaway number one. Since being a Christian means belonging to Christ, no one can be a Christian without also being a part of the group of people who belong to Christ or the Church of Christ. It's impossible. It is not possible to be a child of God, a brother of Christ, and not be a member of His church. It's just not possible. And so, if you refer to someone and say, oh, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, but they're not Church of Christ, then when you say Church of Christ, you're talking about some organization that none of us are supposed to be a part of anyway. Because do you want to see someone who is a Christian but is not Church of Christ? Because that is exactly what I want to be. I don't want to be a part of some organization that claims to be the body of Christ, but yet is actually just a subset of that body. If what you mean by the phrase Church of Christ is just some loose association of congregations that all have that name on their sign, then your idea of the Church of Christ is flawed. When the Bible talks about the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the church that belongs to the Lord, it is talking about every person who belongs to the Lord. And when it talks about a local group, it's just talking about that group of people that are meeting together. It is impossible to be a child of God and not belong to Christ. Therefore, it is impossible to be a child of God and not be a part of the group of people that belong to Christ. And if you are Christ's, you are God's. And therefore, are you aware of this? It is impossible to be a child of God and not be a part of the people who belong to God. And therefore, it's impossible for you to be a child of God and not belong to the Church of God. But none of us are a part of the denomination called Church of God, are we? I want to be a part of the Church of God without being a part of the denomination Church of God. And I want to be a part of the Church of Christ without being a part of this misunderstood, misrepresented, denominational sense, Church of Christ. And so, please, 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 don't ever say, yeah, they're Christian, they're not Church of Christ. Because if you understand Church of Christ, you can't say that. Takeaway number two. Church of Christ is not the official name of the Lord's body. I have heard gospel preachers who otherwise teach the faithful gospel of Jesus Christ actually try to claim that the phrase Church of Christ is the name, the official name that God gave the body of His people. And that if anything else was on the sign out front of a church building, they were wrong and sinful and it's just bad. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what you think about that, but I want you to understand that that is patently false. It is untrue. It is not biblical. Period. In fact, the Scripture refers to the church in numerous ways. It demonstrates that we could call ourselves as a local congregation all kinds of things. Yes, could we call ourselves the Brownsburg Church of Christ? Sure, Romans 16:16 demonstrates that. 1 Corinthians 1:2 demonstrates we could call ourselves the Brownsburg Church of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:14 says we could call ourselves a Church of God in Christ Jesus. Acts 24:14 says we could call ourselves the Way. Galatians 1:2 says we could just call ourselves the Church of Brownsburg. 1 Thessalonians 1:1 says we could call ourselves, I really like this one, the Church of the Brownsburgians. 1 Timothy 3:15, we could just call ourselves Church of the Living God. Philippians 1:1, we could call ourselves the Saints in Christ Jesus in Brownsburg. The Assembly of the Firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. The Household of God, 1 Timothy 3:15, or Ephesians 1:23, we could just say the Church. Here's what I hope you grasp from this. If any one of these phrases were on our signs and on our letterhead and blazoned across our building, do you realize that we would still be just as much a Church of Christ as we are today when that's the phrase that's on our sign? If our sign said the Brownsburg Church of God, we would still be just as much a Church of Christ as we are today. Because we're not a part of that denomination. If it said the Saints living in Brownsburg, we would still be just as much a Church of Christ as we are today. Because we're still just a group of people that belong to Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, I don't want Church of God on the sign because people misunderstand. I'm starting to worry that people misunderstand when they see Church of Christ on the sign. And I'm not just talking about those people out there. Guys, I'm talking about us. I really don't care what those people out there think, other than I want to get the gospel to them so they can be a part of Christ's people also. I'm worried about us. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of misunderstanding among us. Please understand, the phrase Church of Christ is not the official name for the Lord's body because He never named it. Did you realize that? What do you think was on the sign outside of the meeting place where the Corinthians met? You know what? I bet you believe they didn't actually have a sign, don't you? Weird. How did that work? They didn't have a sign to tell everybody they were Church of Christ? But were they Christ Church? Absolutely. And so the final takeaway is we've just got to monitor our terminology because the way we say things ends up changing how we think about things. You know, there was a time when I heard people say this and I would say something to them, oh, you know what I mean. I was like, okay, I know what you mean. But I'm not convinced I know what you mean anymore. In fact, increasingly, I'm becoming convinced that I do know what you mean, and what you mean is not what the Bible says. We've got to monitor our terminology. And so if what you want to tell somebody is, hey, I am a Christian, a child of God, say that. Don't say, I'm Church of Christ. If what you're trying to convey to somebody is you're a person that believes baptism is essential for the remission of sins, well, then tell them that. I'm a person who believes baptism is essential for the remission of sins. Don't say, I'm Church of Christ, because that's the Church of Christ doctrine. If what you want to tell people is, I'm a part of a congregation that doesn't use instruments and takes the Lord's Supper on Sunday and every Sunday, then say that. Don't say, I'm Church of Christ, as if that covers all those doctrines. He's Church of Christ, she's Church of Christ. And, oh, please not, I'm COC. Please don't say that. If you want to find out if the book was written by a Christian, ask, hey, did a Christian write that book? Don't ask, is it a Church of Christ book? If you wanted to talk about a college, if it's run by Christians, ask, hey, is it run by Christians? Don't say, is it a Church of Christ school? A radio program hosted by a Christian, is it hosted by a Christian? Don't say, is it a Church of Christ program? If you're trying to find out about a preacher, if he's a faithful preacher, ask, hey, is he a faithful preacher? Is he a gospel preacher? Don't ask, is he a Church of Christ preacher? And here's a subtle one. Don't talk about the other denominations. Because other implies that we are a denomination. And we are not. Be aware, this congregation, you may not have realized this, and if you didn't, let me clarify it. This group right here is not a part of any organization other than this group right here. We're not a part of a denomination. We are an undenominational, non-denominational, dare I say, anti-denominational congregation. And so please don't talk about the other denominations. Because we aren't one. We need to monitor our terminology. And of course, I guess I've already said this enough throughout the lesson. Please don't ever say, oh yeah, they're Christian, but they're not Church of Christ. If what you really mean is, they're spiritual, they're religious, they have some faith in Christ, but they've never been baptized into Christ, then say that. Because this shorthand speech that we've been using for so long recklessly because we all know what we mean is causing people to not know what we mean, and it's causing us to not know what we mean. And we need to stop it. Is it harder? Does it take longer? Does it take a few more words? Of course it does, but I don't know many of us that don't like to hear ourselves speak anyway, so just go ahead and use the longer phrases. It's all right. Well, folks won't understand. The problem is the way we're saying it, we're forcing them to misunderstand. And what better way, if they don't understand what we mean, what better way than saying something that they won't understand, and then they say, what do you mean? Oh, great. Can we study about this? Let's talk about this. Let me get out my Bible and explain to you. I know all of us are sitting here trying to figure out how to have studies with people. Start talking in biblical language, and then folks look at you like you're crazy. Say, hey, can we open up the Bible and look at that? What a great way to do it. I want to be just a Christian. That's what I've always wanted to be. That's all I've ever wanted to be, and that's all I hope to ever be from now on. How about you? Would you pull out your songbooks, please, if you're going to be using those this morning? We're going to be singing number 307, Are You Washed in the Blood? I know you guys are pulling out your songbooks. That's okay. I'm going to take my Bible back out because I want to read a few things for you while you're getting ready to sing. This morning, I really do not know how you can become a member of a Church of Christ church. But I do know how you can become a member of the church that belongs to Christ. I do know how you can become a person who belongs to Christ and therefore is a part of His church, the Church of Christ. In Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. How do I become of Christ? How do I become the part of the people that belong to Christ, he says, when you're baptized into Him? We understand, and I could preach a whole other sermon that goes along with the implications from that and the foundations. You got to believe in Jesus as Christ. You got to be willing to confess that. You got to be turning away from your way, going after His way, wanting to be a part of the people that follows His way. But it says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, willing to confess it, and you're wanting to change from your way to His way, then what this says is, if you're baptized into Him, you become a part of the people that belong to Him. And in Acts chapter 2, and verse 47, it talks about those very first Christians saying they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number, the ESV says, your translation may say the Lord added to the church, day by day, those who were being saved. You want to be a part of the church of the saved, the church of Christ, the church of God, the church of the way, the church of the living God in Christ Jesus? You believe in Jesus? You ready to follow Him? You willing to confess that? Then surrender to Him in baptism today, and He will add you to that church. Then we'll talk to you about whether you want to be a part of this congregation. But let's get first things first. If you're ready to do that this morning, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?